Take your Bible this morning. Let's go to the Old Testament in the 23rd Psalm, a very familiar portion of Scripture. The 23rd Psalm, we're going to look at one verse here. Then we're going to go to Matthew, and we're going to look at two verses. Then we're going to come back to Psalms and look at one verse. He said, why do we have to do it that way? Because that's the message I've got today, all right? That is the message we've got. So if you'll just keep your Bible. I thought about reading all the verses up front, but I think we're not. We're going to read them as we go, and we'll begin. Just changed my mind. We're going to read them one by one, all right? So Matthew 28. Now, you got Psalms 23, but don't lose your place there. Stick a finger in there, all right? Then Matthew chapter 28, if you would. Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. All right, put your finger in there. And then Psalms 91. All right, Psalm 91. So why couldn't you read them in order? Because the sermon doesn't go that way, all right? Sermon doesn't go that way. Psalm 23, Matthew 28, and then Psalm 91. All right, if you will, there in the 23rd Psalm, I want you to look with me there at verse 4. Verse 4, the Bible says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Now Matthew chapter 28, verse 16. Matthew 28, verse 16. The Bible says, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Now, if you will, Psalm 91, I want you to see the Bible says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Under the shadow of the Almighty. Now, we read those three scriptures, and those three scriptures speak of three shadows. Now, the shadow, the word shadow is not found in Matthew, but I believe it's you'll understand what I mean when I say three shadows, and because that's what I'm going to preach to you about. Shadows are important things. I always like a shadow on a hot day. If I'm outside, I like to get in the shadow. We often speak of someone or something being in the shadow of whatever. For instance, you live in Denver, Colorado. You could say the residents of Denver, Colorado live in the shadow of the Rockies. And they do. We understand that terminology. Sometimes they talk about a ball player living or playing in the shadow of another player. And obviously, maybe both of them being good, but one's so great that they just kind of overlook the other one. He's in the shadow of another one. So I just want you to consider with me three shadows today. And I want you to look, and I want you to think about it, and I want you to figure out which shadow you're in, okay? Which shadow that you're in. First of all, there in Psalm 23, the Bible said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. That terminology, shadow of death, is found 20 different times in the Bible, all right? We find that same phrase. It is not just here in the 23rd Psalm. The interesting thing about that shadow, that's the shadow you're born in. You're born in the shadow of death. Death hovers over every human being today. And that shadow of death is over every human being from the time they're born. Now, kids are notoriously carefree. They don't care about death. They don't worry about death. Most of them don't even consider it. Okay, they don't consider that shadow that it hangs over them, but it's there. But as the years go by, that shadow darkens. As the years go by, that shadow of death darkens. You, as a kid, you don't think about it. One of the earliest memories, really the earliest memory I have from my childhood, I was a little bitty kid, and I remember walking to the grave of my great-grandmother when at her funeral, they buried her out really on some of the family land, and it was out under some pine trees, and I can remember walking across that pine straw. You said, were you affected by her death? Not at all. I was a little kid and I didn't understand death. I preached a funeral one time for a fellow that was about, I think he was 35 years old. He just dropped dead at his office. They came into his office and found him slumped over his death. He was gone, had no idea he was going to die, had no idea there was anything in the world wrong with him. Preached that funeral and he had a little boy about that high. And that little boy at the end of that service wanted to look in the face of his dad. And they brought a chair up and put him in it. And he told everybody, get back, get away from me. And he stood there and gazed into his dad's face. I don't believe that little boy understood death. I don't believe he comprehended it. But as we get older, we see loved ones die. We have friends pass from off this earth. We begin to become conscious of our own mortality. We begin to look in the mirror and think, that's going to happen to me one day. I used to enjoy that. I know you're going to think this is weird, but I'm like my brother. We're both weird, all right? I used to like to turn to the obituary section of the newspaper and read the obituaries. He said, well, what weird morbid fascination did you get out of that? None. I was looking to see if anybody I knew had passed away. But I was never, I was always, I mean, as I got just a little bit older, and not even old, but in my 40s, I became amazed at how many people died younger than I was. I'm amazed at that. Yesterday I was at the cemetery and standing in the mausoleum in the cemetery over at Mount Olivet. I happened to glance over at one of those places there and I noticed the lady that was buried or put there. It was in 1960, but she was only 40 years old when she died. 40. Hey, you get older, you become conscious of your own mortality. You get over the idea that ain't nothing going to happen to me. You begin to get past that. Hey, we get in that shadow of death. We become conscious of it. Can I say this to you? That shadow is produced by the sin that comes between man and God. That's where that shadow comes from. It's our sin, and it hovers over us. Now, I want to say this. There's only one way to get out of that shadow. Only one way. You said, well, I'll just move over. No, that doesn't get you out. Well, I'll ignore it. Doesn't mean you're not there. Hey, the only thing gets you out of that shadow is the new birth. Jesus told Nicodemus, he said, you must be born again. Must be born again. That is the only way for you to get out of the shadow of death. Out of it completely. I don't worry about the shadow of death. I just came to my mind. Old cartoons had more reality to them than today's version of what passes for cartoons. But in the old cartoons, you'd see a fella out on the desert. His clothes are ragged. His beard is scraggly. It looks like he's been laboring for days in the desert, and he's hungry, he's thirsty, and he's slogging along, and all of a sudden he's moving along. He's in a shadow, and he looks up, and it's a vulture shadow that he's in, all right? That vulture's there waiting on him to die. Hey, sin covers you up, and you become conscious of it. The only way to get rid of that shadow of death is to get born again. Just trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Come to Him in faith. Throw yourself on the mercy of God. And say, Lord, I'm a sinner. And I want you to save my soul. I'm asking for that. You get out of the shadow of death. You say, preacher, do you worry about death? Not a bit. Not a bit. Now, I don't get excited about the thought of dying. Because dying can sometimes be a long, involved process. Hey, if I could go like Brother Stapleton or Brother Curtis went. So how'd they go? Both of them sitting in their recliner asleep. Man, they just went, bam! That's the way to go, all right? Brother Soul was a member of our church for years. He went in his sleep. I mean, the next morning, he just didn't wake up. That's the way to go. The way Mom went, man, she was doing all right. She was getting dressed, ready to go visit, actually going to see Ms. McNabb. But she decided to go somewhere else. No, the Lord came for her. Boom, just like that. Death, don't worry about death. Dying, though, I'm not getting excited about, all right? Hey, that shadow of death, we're born in that shadow. The only way to get out of it's the new birth. You must be born again. But there's another shadow. Should I go there to Matthew chapter 16? Matthew chapter 16. The 11 disciples went away into Galilee into a mountain where Jesus appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Said, preacher, where's the shadow? It's the shadow of doubt. The shadow of doubt. If you believe something, if you're thoroughly convinced of something, we'll say it beyond a shadow of a doubt. Beyond, that means I'm totally, completely convinced. I'm absolutely positive about it. If a man or a woman is brought up and tried for murder, the idea is that if you vote the death penalty and you vote them guilty, it ought to be beyond a shadow of a doubt. Beyond a shadow of a doubt. Hey, that shadow of doubt, though, gets people sometimes. Now, it's amazing to me that these disciples doubted. Hey, you have a shadow of doubt because of unbelief. It's when you don't believe. It's when you're not convinced. Okay, that's it. That shadow of a doubt. Yeah, maybe I don't believe what that person says. I'm just a little suspicious. I'm just a little bit wary and leery of believing them. I'm not sure I can believe what they say. Some people today, they have that shadow of a doubt because they don't believe the Bible. Don't believe the Word of God. Don't believe what God says. Don't believe it. I mean, here it is. There it is. It's laid out for us. A lot of people today say, I don't believe that. You said, how do you deal with somebody like that, preacher? You can't. You can't. Nothing I can do for them. Look, if you won't accept what this book says, if you won't accept what this book says, there's nothing I can do for you. If you won't believe that Jesus Christ died and paid your sin debt, there's not a thing in the world I can do. Nothing that I can do. You have to trust Him as your Savior. You say, preacher, why do you need that piece of paper to keep me from wandering all over everywhere preaching? Keeps me focused, all right? So I need that. Hey, you have a doubt because you don't believe somebody. You don't believe the Bible. And now, I'll be honest, this book's proven itself to me over and over and over again. I don't doubt one word that's in it. My dad used to say, he said, I believe it from cover to cover, and I even believe the cover because it says Holy Bible. He said, believe it all. Maybe some people do. Doubt. because of unbelief. Doubt oftentimes is absolutely unreasonable. Unreasonable. To me, it's unreasonable that disciples would doubt Jesus. Now, you can say, well, I doubt he existed. Okay. I guess you can figure, you know. But it's unreasonable to me because so many witnesses said he did. So how do you doubt that? Well, we got people today that are members of the Flat Earth Society. So how do they do that? I don't know. It's unreasonable. It's unreasonable to me to think that the earth is flat, all right? To not believe that it's round. I mean, there you go. Unreasonable. It's unreasonable to me that the disciples would doubt the Lord. Wait a minute. They were the ones that walked with him for 3 years. They stood beside him. Can I say this to you? They heard him pray. They heard him teach. They heard him preach. They saw him do the miracles that he did. They were there. And it wasn't, he never walked up to somebody and said, do you have the faith to believe? Never did that. Oftentimes he just spoke the word. On a couple of occasions, the person he could have said, do you have faith to believe? It would have been a dumb question because they were dead. So he didn't walk up to him and said, do you have the faith to believe? No. He just said it and they were cured. He just maybe touched them. They were cured. Hey, those disciples were there. They saw all of that. They saw him crucified. But then he showed himself to them later, after he rose from the dead. How are they doubting? How are they doubting him? Hey, doubt's unreasonable. I'm going to say this to you. It's doubt that keeps a Christian from enjoying the blessing of God. It's doubt that keeps us from enjoying the blessing of God. And you say, what do you mean by that? Well, for instance, people doubt their salvation. They doubt their salvation. They let doubts creep in. You say, well, preacher, how do you keep from doubting? How do you do it? Well, you make sure you do what he said to do. You make sure you do what he said to do. Do you ever doubt the fact you were born? Well, what would you do if you begin to doubt, I'm not sure I was born? What would it take to convince you? I mean, you know, somebody said, wait a minute, I got a piece of paper. Birth certificate, got your name on it. There it is. You got people that said, I was there. Like your mother. I was there. I know you were born. I was present. You're dead. Y'all, you younger folks, in my dad and his term, in his time, you know, none of them were there at the moment of delivery. I mean, you're pacing the floor somewhere in a waiting room. I was there when my son was born. I wished I was somewhere else pacing, all right? You say, well, it was just beautiful. Not me, it was brutal, man. I mean, I didn't think little rascal was ever going to get here, all right? And I'd have just soon been somewhere else. But hey, I can testify he was born. He said, well, preacher, how do you know you're born again? Because this book says I am. I've got a book that says I am. So how do you know? Because I did what God said to do. If you just do what God says to do, then I believe he did what he said he would do. Well, you know, I mean, if he's God, he cannot lie. And he said, if you'll come and you'll confess and you'll call upon me, I'll forgive you. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Plain and simple. Hey, I did what he said. If you ever had cause to doubt, there were some times years ago I'd do it, but I'd think back, I'd remember what I did, remember what the Bible said. I said, I got saved. You don't need to go through life doubting your salvation. But boy, when you do, it causes you to miss the blessing of God. Don't doubt that. Don't live in the shadow of doubt about your salvation. A lot of people begin to doubt the scripture. You listen to some moron that's got a bunch of letters after his name, who has spent years in college, and he gets the idea he's smarter than God, and tries to talk you out of believing this book. And oh man, there's so many contradictions. There's not. Everything that anybody thinks is, if you spend a little time looking, you see where it is. There's not. It doesn't contradict any itself. It's not. But more people doubt the scriptures. They've made an industry out of doubting the scriptures, I think. And some of them are hired to teach in Bible college for some strange reason. I don't know why you'd go to a Bible college to have somebody teach you that didn't believe the Bible. But they're there. Doesn't make any sense to me. That would be like going to get a medical degree from a guy that didn't believe medicine worked. I'll show you how to perform the heart transplant, but I don't think it'll work. I'd just be a little bit leery of that, you know? I mean, if you have a doctor and they're fixing to do some intricate procedure, doc, you think it's going to work? Probably not, but we'll do it. I'd like to get a second opinion, if you don't mind. Hey, we doubt the scripture. And what when we do, we begin to doubt the promise of God. Oh, how sad that is. To doubt the promise of God. Boy, it robs Christians. It keeps them from enjoying God's blessing. And we doubt the promise. And so many of those promises are conditional. They begin with if. You'll do this, then God says he'll do that. They're promises. They're promises. God says, you do this and I'll do that. I'll do that for you. But we doubt it, so we don't do our part. And we miss out on the blessing. And we look at other Christians over there that believe the Bible and they're enjoying it. We go, how come I don't have what they've got? Because you doubt what God says. You live in the shadow of doubt. Are you there today? Are you there today? Boy, some doubted. They knew better, should have, but they doubted. Let's go now to Psalm 91, would you? I tell you, this is the place that's exciting to me. Psalm 91, the Bible says again, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Oh, what a place to be. What a place to be. To abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Can I just say it that way? It means you've got to be close to the Lord. You've got to be close to him to be in that shadow. Well, I just don't think he's approachable. Wait a minute. He said, come unto me. He invites us. And you're saying, I don't think he's approachable. Oh, yeah. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you. Hey, you can come to him. The truth of the matter is you can be as close to God as you want to be. It's not God holding you off. God doesn't hold you away. When I was a little kid, some of my brother's friends, or occasionally him, would put their hand right here on me and hold me off, you know, and you'd flail away and you couldn't hit them, and they aggravated you and they'd hold you off like that. Man, it was irritating. God doesn't do that to us. God says, you come on. You come. You can be as close to him as you can. Oh, what a blessing, what a joy it is to have that close relationship with the Lord. To be right there with him. To be able to abide in the shadow of the Almighty. That's what the Bible says, all right? Abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Not just visit, but live there. That's where I live. I want to live under the shadow of the Almighty. Not just visit it every now and then. To live there. To live there. There are some people that visit Hawaii and long to live there. I've visited Hawaii. Don't want to live there. That's not where I'd want to live. I've lived in South Florida, sunny Florida. Man, I enjoyed it when I lived there. Don't want to live there now. But it's fun. Hey, it's still fun to visit. I like to go to the Rocky Mountains. I like to get up high. I drive along, man, if you've ever been there and you see that house sitting way up somewhere, and you think, my soul, what a view they must have. And you just gaze up there, man, way up in the air. And I begin to think, how do they get there? Then I begin to think of winter. I like to visit, but I don't want to live there. I don't want to live there. And but I tell you what, I do want to live under the shadow of the Almighty. Want to be there. Hey, that shadow denotes protection. Protection. Oh, it's good to be under the shadow of the Almighty to know He'll protect you. He will protect you. He will guide you and guard you, okay? What a wonderful thing to know it is you're protected by Him. Protected by Him. Like a little kid, you run home to Dad and the bullies are chasing you. You get next to Dad and you turn around and go, na, 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 na. Boy, it's even better when you can do that to the devil. Stand there in the shadow of the Almighty. Say, you can't touch me. You can't do it. Oh, protection. But not only protection, provision. Provision. He provides for you. Hey, we've got the Word of God. He said, I'll provide all your needs. I'll provide all your needs. And a lot of people, they say, well, I'm sure having a hard time. He's not taking care of me. Well, it's because where you're living. It's because of where you're living. If you'd get right there where you ought to be, He'd take care of you. He'd provide. He told Elijah, He said, you go up to the brook Cherith and the ravens will feed you. Now, Elijah could have been like some of us. There's another brook I like better. How about I go there? Go ahead, starve to death. You get where God wants you to be. Oh, to be in the shadow of the Almighty. Where He can provide for you. Where He can protect you. Can I say this to you? The closer you are to Him, the deeper is that shadow. The more shade I believe it provides. Just closer to Him. Close to Thee. Close to Thee. Oh, that ought to be our desire. But I ask you this morning, which shadow are you living in today? Now, I want to say this, every shadow, each one of those shadows is always there. It'll always be there. Never disappear of its own accord. It's not just going to go away. And by the way, it'll never move away from you. It's not like the cloud that comes over you when you're on a hot day and maybe out working. And man, you're out there and the sweat's running and all of a sudden a cloud drifts between you and the sun. Oh, it's such a refreshing, refreshing thing. But you know that cloud's not going to be there long. It's going to move away, but these clouds, they don't move away from you. That shadow of death, it'll always be there. It will not move away. The shadow of doubt of its own accord's not going anywhere. It'll always be there. But the shadow of the Almighty will be there too. So, hey, if they're always going to be there, you know what that means? If you're going to get out from under the shadow, you've got to make the move. If you're going to get out from under the shadow of death, it's up to you to move. It's up to you. If you're going to get out of the shadow of doubt, it's up to you to move. It's up to you. If you're going to get in the shadow of the Almighty, it's up to you to move closer to Him. It's up to you. Now, one simple thing, and I'm done. Faith determines where you're going to dwell. Faith determines where you're going to dwell. If you don't turn to Him by faith and trust Him for salvation, then you're going to remain under the shadow of death. Well, preacher, I just don't have enough faith to believe that if I call on Him, He'll save my soul. Oh, you've got to be kidding. You exercise faith every day you live. Every day you live, you exercise faith. You came in here today and sat down in that pew with complete faith it would hold you up. Complete faith it would hold you up. Nobody walked in and says, wait a minute. None of you did that. You came in and plopped yourself down. I've got kids in school. We've got chairs. They think it's a bouncy house. And they come in on the chair. Faith. One of these days, I hope one of them goes, and it just... But you've got faith. That's faith in an inanimate object. Okay. When's the last time you flew on an aircraft? Did you go in the cockpit and say, let me see your pilot's license, please? I want to look at your logbook, how many hours you got. I want to be sure you know what you're doing here. I just want to check it out. All right, you're the co-pilot, get yours out. I want to see it. Not a one of you did that. None of you. What you did is you crawled into an airplane with 200 other people or more, and they stuffed you in there in a little narrow tube. And you sat there like you had good sense and everything was going to be all right. Because you had faith in those people up there at the front. You can put your faith in somebody you don't know. You can't put your faith in Jesus Christ who came to this earth and died for your sin. Oh, mercy. God help us. Hey, it's up to you. If you want to, you can turn to him by faith, call upon him, ask him to save you. You can go home this morning out from under the shadow of death. Don't have to worry about it anymore. Out from under that shadow. Let me say this, though. You hear you say, preacher, I've been saved. No, I'm saved. But if you don't trust him enough to obey his word and do what he says, you're going to be constrained and covered by the shadow of doubt long as you live. Because you just doubt he'll do what he said. Doubt he'll do it. Yesterday at the funeral for Brother Mudd, one of his nieces had written something about him. She couldn't read him, but said she didn't think she was able to read it, but asked somebody else to read it. So we read it, and one of the things she said is, the way you taught me to swim. Said you took me and you threw me into the water and said, all right, sink or swim. I got up, and I looked at her, and I said, hey, I know how you feel. I had an uncle like that, too. His was a little different. He was standing chest deep in the water that was this deep on me. And I'm out there on the dock. And he said, jump in, I'll catch you. I jumped in. I came up. I couldn't even reach him from where I was. That lying rascal had moved. I said that at his funeral service. And I said, I don't know why I ever trusted him again. But it did. It did. Hey, listen, I trust him. You won't trust the word of God? He's got so many promises. So many promises. If you'd just trust him and do what he says, you'd enjoy the blessing of God. You don't have to live under the shadow of doubt. Don't live that way. Don't do it. Then let me say this to you. Faith completely exercised can put you in the protective shadow of Almighty God. Completely. You can abide there. What a wonderful place to live. Hey, if your home, the house you dwell in, is in sunny Florida, you can still abide under the shadow of the Almighty. If it's in the great state of Texas, you can still abide under the shadow of the Almighty. You can live there. I want to ask you, how about it? Will you face the question honestly today? There is absolutely no reason for you to be living under the shadow of doubt, because Jesus Christ paid our sin debt. He died for all. All can come to Him. No reason for you to live in the shadow of death. He conquered death. He conquered it. Whooped it. No reason for you to live in doubt. As I said, we put our trust, we put our confidence in all kinds of things and all kinds of people. Why not just trust God and trust His book? Why not trust Him? And I can say this to you, I can definitely recommend The Shadow of the Almighty. I can definitely recommend you move there. Your choice. Three shadows. Which one are you under today? Now, you can't be living in the shadow of the Almighty if you're living in the shadow of doubt. Can't do that. Can't be under the shadow of the Almighty if you're in the shadow of death. It's your choice. Where are you living? Where are you living? Would you stand, please, with every head bowed and every eye closed this morning? Our Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come to the invitation time, we've looked at the Word of God. We've looked at three shadows in which people so often live. Lord, all of us were born under the shadow of death, but we don't have to stay there.